Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. As was his custom, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendants, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. I want to wish everybody a blessed Christmas. What better way to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ by coming to worship him on Christmas Day? Ooh, I think that's very cool. Even if you wanted to, you cannot really plan to come to worship on December the 25th. Right? I know that you all want to come to church on December the 25th to worship him, but it's not something that you can organize and plan. But today, as we gather here to celebrate his birthday, Cohen and Cole's birthday, let us all contemplate on the meaning, the reason that he came. Christmas is a time that we all celebrate, a time that we like to give a gift away. I receive a lot of chocolates, thank you. And it's not the chocolate that I really appreciate, it's your love. You all know what I like. Besides chocolate, it'll be wonton noodle, but don't bring wonton noodle to the church. And we all love to receive gifts. And when our two children were younger, we buy them gifts at Christmas. But now we don't do that anymore. We find that they know what they want. They just buy their own stuff. And I'm sure we are a lot of us in the stage. But Christmas, we still like to receive gifts. We like to give out gifts just to show our love. And God has a gift for us today. Last time my sermon was, please wait. So I made you wait for a couple of minutes, and it was purposely set up that way. I'm just kidding. I was actually checking on the Zoom. So that's the problem. I have a Zoom. I'm the Zoom person, and I also have to come here. I'm sometimes feel like a dentist, working on several patients. But a dentist, you get paid for each patient, but here you only get one paycheck. But today is about Christmas special. And I have a gift certificate for everybody here that you can redeem at the end. So you have to stay here until the end of the worship. You cannot leave early to receive this gift for everybody. God has a gift for all of us, for mankind. In the beginning of his creation of people, he promised a Messiah, a Savior, way back in chapter 1 of Genesis, which was written 1,500 years, 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus. And throughout the Old Testament, it has been prophesied that a Messiah will come one day. So the Israelites, the Jewish people, they were waiting and looking forward to this gift that will come on the Christmas day when Jesus was born. And this gift is not only given to them, the Jewish people, but it's to everybody, including all of us here today. It is a gift that they have been waiting for. And in the Old Testament, many of the books have prophecy about the coming of Messiah. But Isaiah is the book the book that has probably the most exciting prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, especially Isaiah 53. And Isaiah is a very important book because there are so many prophecies in it that depict the Messiah, how this Messiah will be like. And so in the history, the critics, they always like to pick on the book of Isaiah, because Isaiah was claimed to be written 700 years before the birth of Christ. So if the Isaiah, of course, you cannot find the original script of Isaiah, but we can prove that this book was written before the birth of Christ. So it gives a lot of credibility to the authenticity and authority of the Bible when it comes to the prophecy of Jesus. Jesus walked into the synagogue, and like Chris today, not my son Chris, the other Chris, came up here and read the scripture. So he went into the synagogue and started doing scripture reading. And for whatever reason, he started reading from Isaiah. Now, if all the books, why did he pick Isaiah? I don't know, but I think I know the reason after this sermon. And then, why didn't he pick Isaiah 53 or 7:14? Oh, that his name will be called, that he will be Emmanuel, man, God with man. Why didn't he pick 53? But he picked chapter 61. And today we are going to know why. Because that is the gift that he's going to give to the Israelites, to all the people in the world, true freedom. That's what Christmas, the Christmas gift is. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. So first, Jesus, by saying that he, the God's Spirit, the Lord's Spirit is on him, that he is not just anybody, that he came to them with the fully filled with the Spirit, because he has, the Spirit has anointed me to proclaim the good news, evangelism. Like good news is most translation translate as the gospel, but the original word is evangelion, which today we translate the English evangelism. So evangelism, the English word, is come from good news, evangelion. He anointed me. Anointed meaning Christ. If you wonder what the word Christ means, is anointed, or in the Hebrew word, Messiah. So I am the Messiah coming to proclaim the good news to everybody, to us today, that Christmas is about the good news of Jesus Christ coming to this world, coming to all of us, that we can all claim this gift, but you have to redeem it. So at the end, I'm going to give everybody a coupon that you can redeem this gift. Now, what is this gift? This, all these prophecies that you have been reading in the Old Testament, that you have been waiting, looking forward to today, this scripture is fulfilled right in front of your eyes. Wow, what a declaration. Someone came in here, if someone come in here this morning and start saying that I am the one, or the great one, and you probably all be skeptical, right? So that's exactly the response that Jesus received. He said that today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, right in front of your eyes. I am the Messiah, the anointed one, that you have been waiting for. You can sort of imagine the response from all these religious leaders, seniors, elders, inside the synagogue. That he is claiming that he is the one that God has been prophesied, the scripture has prophesied. And what is he going to do? Isaiah 61. The Messiah is here. I'm here to proclaim good news to the poor, to the poor people. Well, we are in Canada here. We cannot be too poor, because even if you have no money, the government will support you, will give you money, quite a bit of money. Right? So we are in a relatively wealthy country here. We can have a decent life. But here Jesus said that I'm going to bring good news to the poor. The poor is not just a poor in terms of physical possessions, but poor maybe because you are a lower class people. Maybe you are a slave. Maybe you are sick. Maybe you are a leper in Jesus' day. You are rejected. So you're a poor person. You're a marginalized group. But more importantly, Jesus here is ushering in a new, totally new concept of poor and rich and wealthy. It's ushering in a spiritual dimension. So every term, all this claim that Jesus is going to say to the people in the synagogue, he's ushering in a new spiritual dimension. A new era has begun because of the birth of Jesus. He's talking about not just physical, poor in physical possessions. He's talking about poor in the spirit. As we read the scripture and the gospels, we know that we're very familiar with this passage, Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Jesus is ushering in a totally new era, a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom of God. If someone asks you, what is the theme of the New Testament? At least one of the theory is that it's about the kingdom of God. The theme of New Testament is about the kingdom, the coming, and not yet, of the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. It's not talking about physical properties. It's talking about people who are marginalized, broken people, people who are with a broken spirit, people who feel inferior, people who feel that no one loves you, rejected, lower caste people in Jesus' time. Jesus helped the poor, but what is more important, Jesus now is declaring that his coming is to make the poor people rich, not in terms of physical possessions, but in terms of the blessings, in terms of entering into the kingdom of God, this spiritual kingdom. Jesus came today. Jesus came this 2,000 years ago in the synagogue when he read this, but today he's also here to free people from their brokenness. If today you're sitting here, you feel that you have a broken spirit, Jesus here, you can come and claim this from his promise that he will heal the broken hearted. He's here to set you free. He's to give freedom to the prisoners. I'm sure when Jesus read this, they think of slavery. In those days, they have slavery. Today, we don't. Well, you may think that your wife is slaving you, but it's not really slavery. But in those days, they have slaves serving their masters. So the people immediately think of, so Jesus is going to set us free from being a slave? It's obvious, you're talking about a different kind of slavery. Luke 8:26-39, about someone who's demon-possessed. He was a slave to the demon, to Satan, and Jesus set him free. So Jesus is talking about something more than slavery in terms of work, serving the master. And then Jesus went on in John chapter 8, 34. He's saying that, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Jesus is now bringing them into a spiritual dimension of slavery. What is even more detrimental to us, more scary, is not our physical bondage, but being a slave to sin. Are you bound by addictions, drugs, alcohol, fear, sins that you know, bad habits, anxieties, compulsions, things that you know you should not do, but you just cannot overcome it? I know that I should not be spending so much time on my cell phone. Some people, I think everybody go to bed with their cell phones. I try to keep it away from me. I get message 24 hours a day. If I respond to every message instantly, I'll probably go crazy very soon. But all of us attached, addicted to some kind of, I don't know what's the term for it, social media or other addictions. We are slave to our addictions, whatever that is. Jesus said he is here to set you free, from above all, from Satan. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus is here to set the poor people free from their brokenness, rejections. Jesus said that I'm here to set the slaves, the slave of sin, free. The blind can see. In the gospel, it has been recorded that Jesus helped give sight to a lot of blind people, recovery of sight for the blind. But Jesus here is talking more about just physical blindness. It's talking about your spiritual eyes inside yourself, that he's going to open your eyes. He's going to let you see spiritual things. And there's a very interesting passage, John chapter 9, verse 39. Jesus said, for judgment, he's talking to the Pharisees, for judgments I came into this world so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Oh, this is really abstract. What is he talking about? So even all these educated or biblically educated Pharisees, they could not understand. So those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind, are we? So he talked to each other. Is this guy, Jesus, saying that we are blind? And Jesus gave them an answer that's even more difficult for them to understand. If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sins remains. What was he talking about? He's trying to say that if you do not understand God's will, God's teaching, you're probably excused because you do not know. But you, the Pharisees, the biblically educated scholars, teachers of the time, you know the biblical truth, but yet you, because of your pride, legalism, you did not see. You are not humble enough to receive God. So you see, but yet you do not see. It's better for you to not know than you are not seen. You did not sin. It's a great reminder to all of us. The more you know, actually, God's expectation is more. If you're new believers, God probably have less expectation on you because you do not know. You have to do this, you have to do that. But if you are a Sunday school teacher, you're a theological student, you've been attending church for a long time, you've learned about the truth, and yet, if you do not live it out, God will be more disappointed with you than the ones who may not know as much as you. You may have eyes, but you may not be able to see. So today we have the truth of God, but are we still blind like the Pharisees? This lady called Rose Crawford, Canadian, who was blind for 50 years at a very young age. She got a disease and she cannot see. And she was blind for 50 years. Even after she got married, she never really saw her husband. When she was 55, and then the doctor did a surgery on her, and she can see again after 50 years of blindness. But the most stunning part of the story is that 20 years of her blindness could have been completely unnecessary, because a procedure, surgery, has been developed 20 years ago before her surgery to recover her eyesight. But she did not know. So she was unnecessarily blind for 20 years until one day she found out that actually there is a procedure that she can see again. So she was unnecessarily blind for 20 more years. Today we know the truth. We know that Jesus, the day that we became a Christian, we know that Jesus can set us free, but yet we are still in bondage of our own self, of our sin, of our blindness, of our ego, not willing to humble ourselves. So we are still blind. We're blinded by sin. We are unnecessarily blinded by sin. So hopefully this morning, on the Christmas day, that Jesus here, if Jesus come in here to read this Isaiah 61 to all of us again, he said that he's going to here to set you free from blindness. You can see again. Actually, you can see the day that you became a Christian, but you will unnecessarily stay in blind for all these years. Jesus here to set you free, that you can see spiritually again this morning. Jesus also said that he is going to set the oppressed free. In Canada here, we probably don't understand much about oppression, but some of our members in other congregation, they came from places, countries where they experience oppression. The Webster Dictionary define oppression as unjust or cruel exercise of authority or power. Cambridge Dictionary, oppression, a situation in which people are governed in an unfair and cruel way and prevented from having opportunities and freedom. Oppression is the unjust use of power, authority at other people's expense. We don't need to explain this to the Jewish people, the Israelites, much. They have experienced oppressions from more powerful, cruel countries. Slavery and death. 722 BC, they were captured and enslaved, oppressed by the Assyrians. 586 BC, they were captured and made slaves by the Babylonians. 538, they were captured again, ruled and occupied by the Persians. 63 BC, by the Romans. You don't need to tell them what oppression meant. Jerusalem is 7,000 feet above sea level, which is about 2,000 meters above sea level. But a Roman soldier can come up to you if the weather is cold. They can take your coat because you are a Jewish people. The Roman can take your coat It may not be much for us today. We just go to Metro Town and buy another coat. But for them, the coat is probably all their possession for some people. But a Roman soldier can come up to you and take your coat away. A Roman soldier can give you his loads, 40 pounds of equipment, 45 pounds of equipment, and make you walk for a mile for him, just because he is a Roman soldier. They have to pay more tax. I don't know if they pay more tax than us, but they have to pay more tax to the Romans. They live in poverty. They were enslaved. They are oppressed. But Jesus here said that, I am going to set the oppressed free. So that's why they were looking for a military leader to overturn the Romans, overturn the government. But yet, over and over again, Jesus explained to them that that's not what I meant. I'm not come here to use power, force, to overcome the authorities. Because he is trying to usher in a different kind of government, a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom of God, where people are ruled by the love and forgiveness of God. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. He is talking about another kind of freedom. Freedom in the kingdom of God. So even though we may live, may not be us here, but live in a country where the government is oppressed, but yet we can still experience true freedom by living our hearts, living in the spiritual, the kingdom of God. In this world, Jesus said that you will face tribulations, hard times, even of Christians, but yet you will find peace in me. You will still have an abundant life. This world cannot understand. And having Colossians 2:15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus' resurrection overcome the worst oppressions a government can impose on the citizens' death. Even the government killed the citizens, but Jesus on the cross, his resurrection have overpower, disarm the power and authorities of the government on earth. And the consummation of Jesus as promise, as gift, the biggest gift is the year of Jubilee. I am here to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, to proclaim the year of the Jubilee. Year of Jubilee is described very in detail in Leviticus 25, the chapter. You can go home and read that. The year in the year of the Jubilee, which is the 50 years and the 49 years, if you gave your land in those days, land is your possessions. You don't have stocks, you own mutual funds, but you own people, your possession is your land. With the land, you can grow crops and have food. So the land is everything that they have. But if you are in debt, so you gave your land to someone else, they own the money, the person can use your land to grow crops and make money. But then at the 49 years, he has to give you, he has to stop. And then on the 50 years, when the horn is blown, Jubilee, the Hebrew word is trumpet, horn, the horn of a ram. So that when the horn is blown on the Jubilee year, they have to return the land to you, even you still own their money. So imagine today, the 50 years, and then the bank told you that you don't have to pay your mortgage anymore. Wow, I mean, a lot of people will be really happy. Your car loan is all forgiven today. Today is the day of the Lord. the year of the Jubilee, 50 years. So all the money you own the bank is forgiven. Ah, oh, you will be very happy, isn't it? Right? Your Visa bill, you don't have to pay anymore. This is exactly what Jesus is saying here. Today I'm going to declare the year of Jubilee, the favorable year of the Lord, that you don't have to pay. Now, so who pays our Visa bill? Who covers our mortgage? I still have $500,000 of mortgage. You mean now the year of the Jubilee, I don't have to pay? No, you don't have to pay. So who's going to pay your mortgage? Who's going to pay your debt? Here, the Lord is talking about the debt of our sin. We are generation sin from our ancestors. We commit a sin the day we enter this world. Our sin accumulates like our interest. You can stop sinning tomorrow, which I don't think you can, but you can say that I'm going to stop sinning tomorrow. But all the sin you accumulated, what happened to those? Jesus said that today is the year of the Jubilee. All your debts will be forgiven. All forgiven, all cleansed, delete, reset. That's a TV show called Reset. It's a Chinese TV show, Reset, that is about two young people trying to stop a terrorist igniting a bomb on the bus. So every time when it gets to the bomb going to explode, they can reset the time. It's obviously a science fiction story. They can reset the time to the beginning, and then they try to redo again, and then they fail. And then by the time it gets to the bomb got ignited. So they reset the time and trying to do this again. I think you've seen this kind of movie before. It's called Reset. Set back to the beginning. But God said that I'm going to reset your Visa account to zero. I'm going to reset your mortgage to zero. But who is going to pay for your debt of your sin? Jesus said, I did already. I will. I am the one who is going to pay all your debt. Not because of you, because of me. I'm going to forgive all your sin because I'm going to die on the cross for you. And that is the gift and the message of Christmas. I came, Jesus said, I came here to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the year of the Jubilee, the year of the forgiveness. All your debt will be all erased, reset to zero so that you can restart again. We already received this check when we accepted Christ. When we became a Christian, that day God gave us a gift certificate, a check that we can redeem, that all our debts are forgiven, all our sins are washed away. But yet, we forgot to cash the check. We continue to be loaded by our sins. We continue to feel our brokenness as a poor people. We continue to be a slave of our sin, our addiction. We never experience this true freedom. We continue to be blind, even though we can see. We didn't know that we already have this cure. We continue to be blind to God's calling. Whatever God talked to us, we are still blind. We cannot see. We have eyes, yet cannot see because we forgot to cash the check. We are oppressed. But yet, Jesus has already set us free in his kingdom. He has already declared that this is the day, the year of the Jubilee, that everybody will be reset to zero, free. All your sins are forgiven. You are not bonded. You are not a slave to any sin anymore. You need to cash this check that I'm going to give to everybody today. It's not for me, this check. We talk about freedom 55 is when you can retire at 55 years old. You don't have to work. But today, Jesus gives all of you a check, a gift certificate to you. When, what is it for? For freedom anytime, not just freedom 55. For freedom anytime, you can have this freedom today, this morning. How much? All your debts will be forgiven. All your sins will be forgiven. You are not a slave to any sin, any bondage, any oppressor anymore. But you need to cash this check. You're holding on this check for all these years. And who issued this check? Bank of Montreal. Sorry, no, it's not Bank of Montreal. It's Bank of Messiah. Bank of Messiah, wow. Bank of the Anointed One. Bank of Messiah. But brothers and sisters, you have to cash this check. Otherwise, you'll be like that lady who was blind for 20 years unnecessary. But she forget, she did not ask that, is there any new surgery can be covered by eyesight? You have this check this morning, especially Christmas Day. Jesus promised this check 2,000 years ago when he read Isaiah 61. And today, he's still reading. Well, someone else read this to you this morning. But this check has already been given to you. You already can claim this freedom, free from your brokenness, free from the bondage, addiction of sin. You can see again. You can have true freedom in your heart. Let's pray. Father, we pray that all of us this morning, including myself, we can come to you as a sinner. You came here to reset us to zero. You already died and paid for our debt on the cross. Yet we hold on to this check. We forgot to cash it. Let us this morning, we cash this check. Ask for your forgiveness. And us here who does not know you yet, we pray that the Holy Spirit will be upon those people, that they can accept you as their Savior this morning. For the rest of us, let us cash this check and experience this true freedom in you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Norman. I invite you guys to stand to sing our song of response.